Swinging spells down the street, same old decks we played last week. It's MTG in quarantine. We're all right. We're all right. MTG in quarantine podcast.
Heyo, what is up, everybody? My name is MJ, and you are listening to the one and only MTG in Quarantine podcast, where the motto is EDH, community, now and always. As usual, before we get started here today, I would like to give a quick shout-out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to give a huge shout-out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/MTGInQuarantine. So huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Benz, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, and Coach J-Row for supporting the show. If you like what you hear here on the show and you want to help support the channel, you can go right on over to patreon.com/MTGInQuarantine for more information. And you can pick up some awesome Quiver Time products, whether that is the classic Quiver Time case, the Bolt case, the Orion playmat tube, or just any Quiver Time products. You can go over to quivertime.com and put in the special promo code MTGIQ and all lower caps, again MTGIQ, for 10% off your order at checkout. Obviously this helps support the channel, and I absolutely love my Quiver Time products. I don't go anywhere without them, so you're gonna want the same thing for all of your cards and all of your valuables. So definitely go on over to quivertime.com for all of that. You can also find your very own MTG and Quarantine branded playmat over at Inked Gaming. That's inkedgaming.com. Got two really awesome versions, both the full color logo as well as the grayscale version. They both look amazing. You're going to want one for you and all of your friends this holiday season. So again, you can go on over to Inked Gaming. That's inkedgaming.com. I have the referral link in the link tree in the episode description here, and every purchase helps support the channel and is greatly appreciated. Well, it's that time of year again. It is the time for the 2023 year in review wrap-up episode. Obviously, I'm trying to do multiple ones of these. So this episode in particular is going to be my review of 2023 Magic for me. I'm going to try to do another episode based on all these sets that hopefully come up before the end of the year, just talking about some of the cards we saw, some of the sets, just all the cool stuff that came out here in 2023. But this episode is specifically me just talking about my year as a Magic player in review and just kind of going over some of the coolest things that happened this year and just some of the trends that I noticed. So if you haven't been aware, I have actually been keeping track of all games of Magic that I have played in the last 3 years on inspiration from the awesome Andy Fleury, formerly of the Guardian Project podcast. And so I've been able to keep very good track of all, I believe, 460-some games I think I played in the last 3 years, which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you really think about it, every game takes a while, typically. That's a lot of hours spent playing Magic. And I think the first really big thing to notice about this year was I actually played a lot less Magic than normal. Now, that's not to say I didn't try to play as much Magic as at conventions or tournaments or whatnot, but in general, I just had other things going on this year, and I just didn't play as much Magic. So the numbers in my sheet reflect that. As of the time of this recording, I think I have 154 games in by, was this the 15th of December, I think. And yeah, maybe you get a couple more before the end of the year, but I'm definitely not going to hit the 200 plus games I got in both 2021 and 2022. So for good or for ill, I played a lot less Magic this year. On the flip side, the second major thing I wanted to go over was the fact that I actually participate in my first Magic the Gathering tournaments this year. If you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you probably listened to my episodes on Silicon Dynasty 1 or in January or Silicon Dynasty 2 in September of this previous year in San Jose, California. And these were my first times actually playing in a Magic the Gathering tournament and also the first time playing in a CDH tournament. And obviously, if you listen to those episodes, you know how those turned out. If you haven't, I'll just give you the lowdown here. I had some fun playing in the tournaments, but I didn't win a single game across the two tournaments that I went to I was playing two different decks I wasn't overly familiar with, and it kind of showed. Back in January, I was playing Yuriko, the Tiger Shadow, which, again, if you're new to CEDH and you don't really know what the meta looks like, it's basically cheating commander attacks, bunch of really cheap creatures, try to flip really big spells off the top of your library, and also have the Thoracle Demonic Consultation backup AB combo if you absolutely need it, but that's not really the way you want to win with that deck. And, you know, it's a very simple deck to pick up, and on the other hand, going into a tournament setting probably wasn't the best time to basically be playing that deck for, like, the third or fourth time. So I, with very little practice, went into that tournament, and I got my face kicked in. So I'm not going to say if you go into a tournament, you need to know your deck absolutely inside out, especially, you know, if you're not there necessarily to win. I was really there to just, you know, be part of the community, see a lot of cool people who I'd either never met before or who I'd run across beforehand, or just, you know, interacted with online, and I finally get to put a face with the name. So even though I did absolutely horribly at the event, I really didn't care so much, because at least I got to feel like I was part of the community being a content creator at this big tournament. Just is that I was in the room where this tournament, which honestly at the time seemed pretty revolutionary. I mean, it was no Marchesa from 2022 at Mox Boarding House, I believe in Bellevue, Washington. I think that was last year. Time flies, doesn't it? But I really think Silicon Dynasty was kind of that turning point for CEDH tournaments. Obviously, now as of recording, we see tournaments all the time. You have the Playing with Power has their Mox Masters every month. We see a lot of Chaos tournaments. Eminence Gaming is just doing an amazing job with this, so big kudos to them for being able to keep track of all these tournaments. And then, again, with the Command Tower product that is out there, basically anyone can run a CEDH tournament or an EDH tournament with their amazing software to be able to make pairings happen, yada, 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 and it really was built from the ground up. So kudos to Eminence Gaming, the folks over at Command Tower and all that for doing that. But anyway, back to the point, Silicon Dynasty was kind of, I believe, really the first big proving ground of, can we really make tournaments, you know, a big time out of this? And honestly, I think the answer was a resounding yes, even though I did horribly. The fact that there were so many other creators, so many other big CDH personalities there was huge and cannot be understated. And I think partially due to the success of that tournament, of that Silicon Dynasty 1 tournament, the CDH tournaments are now thriving very well across the board, across the world. And it's really cool to be able to see that, and at least know that, you know, I was in one of the first real big tournaments that helped try to, you know, kick off this entire year of tournaments. So just being able to know that I was involved in that in some shape or form, got to make some connections, got to do some cool things. I almost won a game. I came very close, and I just misplayed at the end. So, you know, I came close. That's all that really matters. I learned a lot from that experience, and took that into September, where I instead brought the Hermit Druids Tim Nadargo list, the one that if you've been listening to my podcast for long enough, you probably know that I have a deck tech. And if you haven't been listening and this is your first time listening to my podcast, I have a complete 30-ish minute, actually maybe longer than that, but I have a full deck tech on the Tim Nadargo deck list from Nathan the Hermit Druid. So if you're interested in going that, check that on out sometime. It was really sometime last year. I don't quite have that in front of me, but it was a really, really good episode. And I think that really, really demonstrates what the deck is trying to go for. So, anywho, I did participate in Silicon Dynasty 2 in September of this year and played Dargo Timna, and, you know, didn't quite do the best on the deck. Obviously went winless again. It's a very tricky deck to try to pick up, especially, again, when you don't really have a lot of experience playing that particular deck. And, you know, just trying to figure out some of the combo loops, trying to get through a tournament meta with a lot of different things was very, very challenging. So looking back on this is probably not something I should have been doing, was going in pretty much blind, a second time on a CDH tournament setting. So I did not win a single game, officially at Silicon Dynasty 2. Now, that being said, I did participate in the Redemption event at Silicon Dynasty 2, which happened for all of those players who didn't make the top 16 cut. I decided to go back to my roots as a CDH player, and if you've been listening to the show for long enough, you know that that means go to Bandit Warlord, go to Helm, count to 11, and win. That actually ended up being an amazing decision because I went 2-1, including an explosive turn 2 win in round 3 to be able to win $75, which I was able to cash in immediately at the vendor on site. Big shout out to Propaganda MTG for that one. I was able to pick up an amazing Strixhaven Mystical Archive, at least I think that's what they're called, Demonic Tutor, and it looks absolutely amazing. It's in one of my favorite decks right now. I have yet to draw it in that deck, but I haven't really played a lot of games, as I said at the outset, so eventually I will draw it, and I now have extra Demonic Tutors in my collection, which is never a bad thing. So, yeah, the fact that I decided to go to a deck I was far more comfortable with, I think really made a difference, and if I was to play in another tournament again, I would probably want to run Godo. You know, I didn't want to originally run Godo because I was afraid I wouldn't really be able to play Magic, but on the other hand, maybe I would have won a couple matches, who knows. So, just some food for thought for next time. Another thing that I noticed from looking at my my history here for the year was that I played a lot fewer brand new decks. Obviously, yes, I have played a lot less Magic this year, but I also really doubled down on some of my favorite decks, as well as trying to tinker with existing decks that were already in my collection coming into the year. I barely played any brand new decks, and the brand new decks that I did play were mostly either special event kind of one-offs, or they were playing someone else's deck, for instance. So I'll give a couple of examples here. I did have the amazing opportunity to play with the folks over Commander Seals. A big shout out to Gunner for that. I had Gunner on the show a while back talking about Commander Sealed, and I got an opportunity to play on their stream twice during the year. So basically, Commander Sealed, for those who don't know, is an event that happens every year in Rochester, New York. It happened a couple of months ago, I believe, September or October of this year. And effectively, you build a commander deck utilizing... It's basically a sealed pool that you build into a commander deck. So you're getting all sorts of booster packs of Chaos Draft, very different booster packs from the last couple of years. And you're supposed to crack them and turn them into a commander deck and then battle with your friends. So I got to do this a couple times. I actually went through the whole challenge and virtually opened a bunch of packs, and I got to play a couple rounds of Commander Seal, which is a lot of fun because, again, you have a bunch of Chaff Commons in there, for instance, which you normally would not see in a regular EDH table, as well as if you can somehow draft like a $15 card, all of a sudden you have a giant threat that everyone needs to answer, and it's really, really cool. So I did get to play Sidisi Brood Tyrant for the first time, as well as Hamza, Guardian of Arashin. I think I'm probably pronouncing that incorrectly, but anyway, I got to do that twice, two very different decks doing very different things. It was very fun to be able to do that sort of thing. Another thing that I did get to do was the Commander Masters pre-release event back in, I think, the end of July, honestly. And what was really cool about that set was that you got to give two mono-colored legendary creatures partner as part of the event. So this is something you would never get to do normally, but I got to put some very, very different creatures together. I had Sakiko, Mother of Summer, who's that 4-green-green legendary snake, who gives you green mana whenever your creatures deal combat damage to a player, as well as Chainer Dementia Master, the mono-black Chainer, who can reanimate things from your graveyard, turning them into nightmares. So it was really cool being able to do some kind of weird Golgari deck. I had a bunch of really cool ramp and some other fun stuff in there. And it was just a really cool deck to be able to pilot, even though I didn't win either of my games with it. But just the concept of being able to draft my deck from 20-card booster packs, kind of as the original Commander Legends was intended to be, except for the fact you didn't really have partner in this set. So the fact you got to make your own partner pairings was super awesome. And I had a lot of fun being able to do that, and I would definitely do another Commander Masters draft in a heartbeat. Oh, wait, actually, I did do a second one. I did get to play Maelstrom Wanderer for the second pre-release event. I did two of those, and Maelstrom Wanderer was actually... I actually really remember what this deck looked like. It had three Wing Rider Wizards, which actually a really good, even CDH playable card, which base... it's a 2 and a blue human wizard, I think 1/3 with flying, and whenever you cast an instant, sorcery, or wizard spell, you get to loot, so you get to draw a card, then discard a card. So just a really good payoff for a kind of deck where even if I only had like 6 or 7 instants or sorceries, I have a flying creature, I can try to cascade with my commander, and then I can also, you know, draw some extra cards, which is really nice, especially in a 60-card format like that particular draft. So that deck was very fun to play. Both of them were very fun to play. I didn't win a single match, but I think with Maelstrom Wanderer, I actually was far more threatening to my pod than with the other ones. So, and we got to do some really cool stuff with that. I also played some pre-cons this year, whether it was a pre-con battle, Command Fest in Indianapolis, or whether it was just a pre-con battle on a stream at one point, where I did get to play Faldorn Dreadwolf's Herald for the first time. Actually, a really fun exiling deck. So, just a lot of really cool stuff to do there. But yeah, on the other hand, I didn't really play a lot of brand new decks that I built. So typically, you know, if you've listened to the show long enough, you know that I just love tinkering with decks. I love building new things, I love trying different things, and usually they don't work out, but occasionally they'll fit into one of the tiers of my collection as far as how much I play them. And this year I really didn't do a ton of that. I kind of just doubled down on the decks I already have, and I just tried to play them more because I enjoy them, I keep them around for a reason, and I just wanted to play those decks more. So I don't know if that portends anything going into 2024, if that means I'm going to be building less decks or trying new things a little less, or if I'm just going to do a complete 180 and I'm going to try a bunch of different new things. Who knows? So we will definitely see where that goes. Another thing that I wanted to bring up here was the fact that I just played a lot of CDH. Obviously, I played in those tournaments, as I mentioned, but when I go into my overall numbers here... Wow, computer, don't be weird like that. I have played, according to the log, I ended up playing about 45 games of CDH, which, you know, isn't quite a third of the total matches I played this year, but it's actually a fairly healthy number. And I really think that even though I was really getting into playing CDH last year, I think this is really my personal year of CDH, is the fact that I started to try to take that next step. Obviously, I played a lot of Godo last year. I was trying to learn more about the meta, I was trying to learn more about playing CDH, you know, when to interact, when not to, etc., etc. And this year, I really pushed that to the max. And honestly, I think in the process, I realized that I just really like casual CDH. I'm not really a tournament grinder. Sure, I won $75 in Redemption Tournament, but I'm not really going to get, you know, really, really good at this. I just really enjoy casual CDH where it still has that casual EDH feel. You're just playing the most powerful cards ever printed. So I just really enjoy that more casual experience. But again, I'm not going to say anything bad about the tournament experience because it was awesome. I got to meet some cool people, got some cool games. And like I said, I won $75 in Redemption tournaments. So I'm not complaining. But yeah, this was definitely my year of CDH. So we shall see where that goes going into 2024. Another thing I wanted to call out, which was actually a really, really cool experience that I didn't even know about before, let's say 2 months beforehand. And that was playing Custom Commanders. And, you know, Custom Commanders are super, super cool, because you basically get to take something that doesn't exist and wish it into existence. And I did this on the Magic the Dungeoning stream over with friend Scruffy Nerf Herder, and we also had Alex of Trivial Encounters and Katie of Cardboard Combat on this. And a couple months before the stream back in March, we endeavored to create some brand new commanders that did some really cool stuff and then play them on stream against each other. And again, we went through a whole DM session on Twitter just talking about trying to balance our commanders out. Obviously, we didn't want anything super busted. We wanted to try to keep things, you know, fairly casual, but also really, really cool. And huge shout out to Katie of Cardboard Combat for actually creating the real proxies of these custom commanders and sending them to us. So I actually have a full set of all four of the custom commanders that were used in this game. And it was a really cool game. We had a really fun couple of planeswalkers. I know the Scruff and Alex both played some very interesting planeswalkers. Scruff was playing, I think, the Cabaretti precon pretty much from New Capenna from 2022, just with the Planeswalker commander who would create prism tokens, something like I don't quite remember exactly what it was, but it was a really cool concept. Then Alex was playing a necromancer, I believe, a Dimir necromancer, planeswalker, something like that. It's had some reanimation effects, some really cool stuff. Had an extremely broken ultimate ability, which I know we discussed a lot in the original DM chat there, but again, a really cool design. Katie ended up building around, I think it was Jund, so green, black, red attractions out of like the Infinity set and whatnot, and it was a really cool design, getting to play around with tickets and whatnot. Again, it's not a set I'm very familiar with, but from what I did see, it was very fun. And my commanders were basically a pair of dolphin performers. I thought it was really funny. I called them Doll and Fan Eager Performers. So yes, I'm extremely creative, right? But I was really fascinated by Proliferate, because obviously we had just seen Phyrexia All Will Be One coming out, so there was a huge emphasis on Proliferate. And I was really curious to mess around with cards with the level up mechanic, which, if you don't know, came out in the original, was it the original Zendikar, I think? It seems like it was. And basically, you can pay a cost to give these permanents additional level counters, and the more leveled up they get, the more powerful they get, extra abilities they get, yada, yada, yada. So what Doll and Fan said was, I don't remember exactly what the stat line was, but it was creature in Bant colors, so again, your blue, green, white, which is not really a color pairing I ever play, but it seems really interesting. And basically, it said whenever you use the level up ability on a permanent you control for the first time each turn, copy that ability. So basically, the first time you would pay a level up cost, you would get two level ups effectively. And then you could pay one in Bant colors to proliferate. You can only do that once per turn. I was trying to make sure that in case I got stupid amounts of mana, I wouldn't just be able to proliferate like crazy. I wanted to try to keep it balanced. And honestly, it was an extremely fun game. I actually even, and because obviously I was also playing a bunch of proliferate cards to try to get around my own commander's downside, or at least the once per turn downside. And I did not win. My deck kind of struggled at times, but on the other hand, according to my play notes here, I actually got to copy Replicating Ring 8 times, because actually, if you know what Replicating Ring is, it's a mana rock, 3 generic. You can tap to add one mana of any color, and if you end up getting 8 counters on it, because you put a counter on every one of your upkeeps, so if you can hit 8 counters on there by your next upkeep, you then get to create 8 copies of Replicating Ring. So all of a sudden you have 8 mana rocks of the exact same name sitting out there to give you 8 mana of any color. And I actually got to pull that off right before the end of the game and end up with a bunch of mana that I really couldn't use, but hey, who cares? I had that achievement moment where I unlocked the Replicating Ring achievement. So I'm not complaining. It was a really fun game, and I would definitely recommend doing that again if you haven't before. Obviously, talk with your pod beforehand. You want to make sure things are balanced. But again, it was a lot of fun doing, and I had a ton of fun just doing that, and I would hands down do that again. So I think really the last thing that that came out of this year was I just got to play a lot of Magic with a bunch of cool people at various different events, whether that was at Command Fest, it was a Magic 30 in Philadelphia, Command Fest Indianapolis, Magic Con Minneapolis, Command Fest Anaheim, or Magic Con Vegas. I just got to, or even just at the Magic Summit in Salt Lake City at the end of October there. I got to play a bunch of games at conventions. And, you know, I mean, I kind of wonder, you know, do I go to conventions just to play Magic or hang out with my friends or both or something else? But again, I just really enjoy being able to play Magic with my friends because I don't necessarily get to play Magic all the time. So the fact that I can take the better part of 3 days to just play Magic and just enjoy myself is really fun, is a huge part of why I go to these conventions. Not the only reason, but is definitely a huge part of the reason why I go to those conventions. And yeah, just looking down the list of different decks that I played this year, I obviously keep track of how often I play these decks, whether I win or not, kind of the relative finishing position I have for each game, etc., etc. I found that I, again, played a lot fewer decks this year, but I played the decks that I did play a lot more often. And oddly enough, Godo actually was not my top CDH deck this year. That actually goes to Dargo Timna, which I played 15 times this year and did not win a single game. So Maybe that's telling me the down farm just isn't my thing, or maybe I'll persevere and I'll do better. Who knows? We shall see where things go in 2024. All I do know, though, is that I definitely have figured out my like top eight decks, let's say. Obviously, they come in like two or three tiers where it's like favorite decks, second favorite decks, and then decks that I bring out for, you know, more theme, more focused games, etc., etc. But I think I've really figured out what my favorite decks are. I'm starting to get some awesome alters in from the amazing and incomparable Inkling Customs, showing these commander characters in just kind of funny, chibi ways with whatever funny ideas I have coming to my brain, and just have some awesome one-of-one pieces of artwork that will catch attention and catch eyes at the Magic table and just honestly make me smile when I stare at the cards. So it's really cool what Magic is able to bring out, and I am excited to see where things go in 2024. All right, if you liked what you heard here today, you can go on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine to help support the channel. Again, I'd like to give a huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who are already supporting me over at patreon.com, and those include Mr. Big Vents, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, and Coach J-Ro. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, again, head on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine. See, I'm already forgetting my own outro here. Again, if you want to pick up a Quiver Time case, or Bolt case, Orion Playmat Tube, or any of the amazing Quiver Time family products, go on over to quivertime.com and make sure to utilize promo code MTGIQ, again, in lowercase MTGIQ, for 10% off your final order at checkout. And anyway, you can find all of the episodes I mentioned here on today's episode and many, many more over on the major podcast outlets. That is your Google, Apple, Spotify, Player FM, Rockcast, Podcast, Overcast, Breaker, and a million others. I obviously forget all of them are there. But if it's a major podcast outlet, you can probably find me on there. You can also find me on Twitter at MTGInQuarantine. And I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name is MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.